Okay, everyone, welcome back to Shmuel Beis. And last week we had a lot of action in Perek Yud Ches. I'm sorry, the email said Perek Yud Ches. There was a typo. It was Perek Yud Ches. Last week we learned the first half, tonight Amir Tzashem will learn the second half. I'm sorry, it wasn't last week. That's why it was 2 weeks ago. Last week we didn't have a shir.
Right. This
week we're going to learn the second half of Perek Yud Ches. So 2 weeks ago we learned how Avshalom was killed. Right, we read about the battle between Avshalom's forces and David's forces, and then we read about how Avshalom got stuck. His hair, he had long hair. He was a Balgaiva, we learned, and his hair got stuck in the trees. He was hanging, and then he wanted to cut his hair off. What ended up happening, we know, was that they found him, and Yoav tried to get this fellow to kill him. He didn't want to. And then Yoav decided to take matters into his own hands, and Yoav took three little spears and stabbed Avshalom. He was still alive. And then we read that the 10 Na'arim, these 10 young men, surrounded Avshalom and basically killed him. And I don't know if they beat him to death or they stabbed him. I'm not sure exactly. It doesn't say exactly what happened by Yaku, but that could be multiple things. And then the last pasuk we learned last time was pasuk Yud Zayin, that they threw him into a big pit and they piled a lot of stones on top of him, filled up the pit, and then some, then piled more stones on top of him, and that was where they buried him. Okay, now the first pasuk we're going to learn tonight, pasuk Yud Ches, follows up on that thought of where he was buried. He was buried in this in this big mass, almost like a big grave, full of stones. So Pasuk Yud Ches says, "V'Avshalom lo kach, v'yatzev lo b'chayav es matzeves asher be'emek hamelech." That during his lifetime, Avshalom lo kach, he had taken. This was his idea. Like the Mefarshim point out, the lo kach here is strange. It's like v'yikach Korach. Like Korach took. He convinced people to come with him. This was his movement, his idea. This was Avshalom's idea. What was his idea? To make a matzeva for himself while he was still alive. And this is an Emek HaMelech, and he made a matzeva for himself while he was still alive. Why did he do that? Ki Omar Ein Li Vein, Ba'avur Haskir Shemi. Because he says, I have no son by which to remember my name, right? We pass away if we have sons, so then our sons carry our name, right? So everybody knows our names from our sons. But he says, I have no son by which to remember my name. And therefore, Vayikra l'matzeves al shemo, he called this matzeva, this monument by his name. What did he call it? Vayikra la Yad Avshalom. He called it Yad Avshalom. That's what he called this monument. Arayom Azeh, and that's the name of the monument until today. I don't know if we know where this monument is or was. I don't think it still exists. I haven't heard about it. But that's what the pasuk says. So he made this monument while he was alive, and he called it Yad Avshalom. Now,
isn't that right outside the eastern gate? Isn't that down the mountain? No,
where? Yeah.
It's the valley between Har HaBayis and Har HaZeitim.
Yad Avshalom is there.
Yeah. Har HaZeitim.
That's where it is.
The bottom of Har HaZeitim Cemetery.
That's where it is, right outside the eastern gate, down the hill.
Okay, I got to check it out. I didn't know that. I'll check it out. Okay,
next trip, Rabbi. Next trip.
Imrit Sasha. Okay, so he makes this matzeva, and that's what he calls it. Now, first of all, why does the pasuk mention? Why does the navi mention this here? It's a little strange. Why is it mentioning this here if he did this? He did it years ago. He didn't do it now. He just went to battle and got killed. So why is he mentioning it here? That's one question. So the Radak says, because what happened was, we learned in the last pasuk that they buried him in this big pit and they piled all these stones on top of it. So what happened was, according to the Radak, that his intention was that this matzeva would be his burial place. He essentially designed his own burial place before he died. He wanted it to be a big place to remember him. So what they did was they dug him up, right? We don't know exactly when this happened, but at some point they dug up Avshalom from that burial place where they buried, the pit with the stones. They dug him out and they buried him in this place, in this Matseva, and that's why they called it Yad Avshalom, right? That's where he was buried. That's how the Radak learns. And according to what, you know, the way the Radak learns, it makes a lot of sense why this Pasuk is mentioned here. Because in the previous Pasuk, we said he was buried under these stones. So now the Pasuk says, yeah, but that was only temporary. Because eventually they moved him to this place, which was his Matseva that he had designed, Yad Avshalom. Now, not everyone agrees with that. The Malbim says that, you know, he says that the name Yad Avshalom, why Yad Avshalom? You know, it's a strange name for a monument. So he believes that that it was called Yad Avshalom, the hand of Avshalom, because Avshalom was not buried there. He was not buried there. He says if he was buried there, they wouldn't call it Yad. He wouldn't have called it Yad Avshalom. So calls it Yad Avshalom. That's because he was not buried there. He was buried under the stones, and he remained buried under the stones. That's how the Malbim understands. So it's a machlokas among the Mefarshim. Was Avshalom buried there or not? I'm not sure what they tell you when you go there, you know, if that's Avshalom's burial place, but it seems to be a machlokas exactly where he's buried between the Radak and the Malbim. Now, very interesting. If you look at the word b'chayav in your Navi, so you'll see that the ksiv is missing a yud. It says beis ches yudvav, that's the ksiv. That's the way it's written. And the kri, the way it's read, is b'chayav, which is normally, it's normally written with two yuds. So why is it missing a yud? So, you know, you could just say kri and ksiv. But says the Radak that there's a medrash here that says that there's a yud missing in the ksiv because he lost 10 years of his life. Why did he lose 10 years of his life? Because what did he do wrong that involved the number 10? He slept with his father's 10 pilakshim. Remember that? That was a big turning point. So he slept with his father's 10 pilakshim. Because of that, he was punished, and he lost 10 years of his life. And that's why there's a yud missing in the ksiv from the word b'chayav. It's also interesting that how many people killed him. Pasuk says there were 10 ne'arim, right? So the 10 ne'arim surrounded him and killed him by Yaku. So that's also could be related to this sin of the 10 pilakshim. Okay, now all the Mefarshim asked the question, what do you mean, Ein Li Vein? He doesn't have a son? We all remember Perek Yudalit, right? Of course, we all remember Perek Yudalit. I'm just kidding, right? But in Perek Yudalit, in Pasuk Chav Zayin, it says, Vayivaldu le'avshalom shlosha vanim uvas achas. The Pasuk says explicitly in Perek Yudalit that he had three sons and one daughter. So what in the world is he saying? Ki ein li bein. So Pashat Pshat, right? Pashat Pshat is that Rashi says, no, he had children, like the Pasuk says in Perek Yudalit, he had children. He just meant, I don't have a son who's as chashuv as I am and who can fill my shoes and carry on my legacy. That's what I don't have. So not Kiein Li Bein, I don't have a son. I have a son. He'll carry the name, Avshalom's son, I don't know, you know, Ben David, whatever his last name was, like Mordechai Ben David, right? You know, so Avshalom Ben David. You know, he'll carry on my legacy, my last name, but he's not so chashuv. So that's the Pashup shot. That's what Rashi says. However, some say, and this is a medrash, some say that they all died before him. They all predeceased him. He had children. He had three sons and a daughter, but they all predeceased him. And likely that was a punishment for him also. In fact, the Radak points out that there's Amru. I don't know who's, maybe it's a Maimar Chazal somewhere. I'm not sure. But there's some sort of a saying that if a person burns his friend's field down, then he's not going to have any children to inherit him. If you remember, Avshalom also in Perek Yudalit burned Yoav's field. Because if you remember, when Avshalom came back, Avshalom wanted to see David. Yoav wasn't letting him. He wasn't getting Yoav's attention. He burned Yoav's field down. Yoav said, hey, why'd you burn my field down? He said, I wanted to get your attention. Right? That was the story in Perek Yudalit. So because of that, says the Radak, if you burn someone's field down, you lose your children. That's a terrible thing. You know, you take someone's income away. It's that's their parnasa. You know, either for them, for their families, for their business, whatever it is. You can't do such a thing. So maybe he was punished because of that his children died young. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you say it's missing a vav or a yud?
Yud, yud, yud.
A yud. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. It says because he slept with 10 of his father's concubines.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Pasuk Yates. Now, Ba'achimaatz ben Tzadok. Remember Achimaatz? He was one of the sons of the Kohen Tzadok. He was one of the informants for David. He was one of the spies. Achimaatz ben Tzadok. Omar. Arutzana va'avasra es hamelech Ki shefato Hashem miyad oivav. Let me run and tell David what happened. We defeated Avshalom's army, right? David's now back to being the king, uncontested. We defeated the rebellious army. This is amazing. Ki shefato Hashem miyad oivav, says the Mitzvah Das David. Hashem did justice. Hashem was the shofet. Hashem judged David favorably. He did justice for David. Achimad says, I want to go tell him, right? You know, we feel the excitement sometimes. There's something, you know, a good piece of news. Last night, Baruch Hashem, I don't know if you heard, but there's a fellow by the name of Lavi Greenspan. I'm sure you've heard of the name Lavi Greenspan. Lavi Greenspan is about, he must be 40, maybe mid to late 40s, a little older than me. And he became blind when he was in college. He was in YU, and he was could see perfectly. He had a benign whole story. He had a benign brain tumor. He had brain surgery, and as a result, as a side effect of the surgery, he ended up losing his vision completely. He became completely blind. I mean, he's amazing. He goes around speaking about emuna and Hashem, how Hashem is all good. It's incredible. I mean, the man has so many challenges. Baruch Hashem, yesterday he got engaged. Baruch Hashem. Amazing, he got engaged, right? Baruch Hashem, he's been dating for all these years. The guy is blind, he has challenges. Baruch Hashem, he got engaged, unbelievable. When I found out, I was so excited. I wanted to tell everyone. And I wanted to tell you, I told the Rabbeim and DRS, all the Rabbeim, you know, you want to be the first one to tell when there's good news. You want to be the first one to tell people. It's exciting. Achimatz wanted to be the one to tell David. He had been giving David information all along, the last couple of prokim. Now, finally, Avshalom is defeated, the enemy is defeated. He wanted to run and tell David. So he goes to Yoav. Yoav's in charge, and he tells Yoav, Yoav, I want to go run and tell David the great news. Pasuk Chaf, Hayomer lo Yoav, lo ish besora ata hayom hazeh. He says, you're not a messenger today. Other days, you were a messenger. You went and passed on information to David. Today is not your day. Why? Uvisarta biyom acher. Another day, you'll give a message to David. The hayom hazeh lo sevaser, but today you're not going to give him the message. Why? Ki al kein bein hamelech meis. Now, according to most of the mefarshim, right, Rashi and the Radak, and the Malbim also, they all say Yoav was trying to communicate to Achimatz here that this is not just pure good news. If it was pure good news, and so you want to run and tell David the good news, gevaldik, right? Of course, you know you want to be the one. You've been giving the messages all along. Understood. But here, this is not purely good news. This is complex. Yeah, sure, it's good that the enemy was defeated, the rebellious army was defeated. His son was also killed. That's not so pashut. That's not so good. We know he deserved to die. That's why the Radak says the Medrash, Ki al kein ben amelech meis. Why does it say Ki al kein? It could just say Ki ben amelech meis. What's Ki al kein? Says the Radak, Kain. Yes, he needed to die. That's what the Medrash says. He deserved to die. So his death was warranted. Right, he did something terrible. He did something evil. He rebelled against his father, the king. Terrible thing to do. So his death was warranted. But he's still his father. David is still his father. He's going to be upset. He's going to be heartbroken. It's not just purely good news. It's not a good message for you to bring to him. And as we'll see, Achimatz was a very good person. He was a good person. And as the Mefarshim described, you're not the right one to bring this message. If you're a good guy, you're a good person. You want to bring good news. If it's something that's negative, we'll send someone else. We're going to send someone else to give him this news. Now, the Malbim says, because it's a complex message here, you know, on the one hand, it's good. The enemy was defeated. On the other hand, Avshalom died. He says, the only way that you should be the one to give this message to the king is one of three ways. And of course, the Malbim always reads the pasuk very carefully. He says, number one, if you're the person who gives him news every day, somebody has to give the king the news. Right? Somebody brings the president of the United States. Somebody brings him the papers. Somebody tells him what's going on. He's briefed. So if you're the one who briefs David every day, that's a different story. But that's not your role. You don't brief David every day. And that says the Malbim. That's what the pasuk means when it says, Lo ish besora ata hayom hazeh. You're not the one who every day gives David the news, number one. Number two, maybe you'll say, well, I'm a Kohen. Right? Achimatz was the son of Tzadok. He was a Kohen. I want to give him the news so I can give a bracha to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Malbim, you could do that another day. Uvisarta b'yom acher. Right? Another day, you'll go and you'll give David some good news and you'll give a blessing. You'll praise the Ribbono Shel Olam. Fine. And if it was purely good news, that's fine. But here, it's not purely good news. There's bad news mixed in here. There's bad news mixed in. you're not going to be the one to tell him. You should not be the one to tell him. But someone's got to tell him. Someone's got to tell him. So what happens? So Yoav says, "Vayomer pasuk chaf aleph, vayomer Yoav la kushi." Yoav turns to a kushi, and he tells him, "Leich haged la melech asher ra'isa. Go tell the king what you saw." Vayishtachu kushi leYoav vayarotz. The kushi bows down to Yoav, and he runs. Now, who is this kushi? The Radak says either he was someone from the land of Cush. Cush was a country, right? So either he was someone from the land of Cush, and maybe he converted. Maybe he converted to Judaism, and that's why he was here. Maybe he was Jewish, the Radak says, but maybe he was black, right? And that's people from Cush were dark-skinned. They were black people. So maybe he was a black person. He was a colored person, and that's why he was called a Cushi here, okay? But he tells him, you go run. Why? Because this Cushi, you know, this person, he didn't have any connection to David. He wasn't David. You know, he wasn't Achimatz. He was a nice guy, maybe, but he wasn't Achimatz. He thinks it's a great honor that Yoav is bestowing upon me. That's why the pasuk says in Tzidah Seven, "Vayishtachu Kushi Yoav." He bowed him. Why? Oh, look at this honor! I'm being selected as the one to give David the information that the war is over, that the rebellious army has been defeated. Oh, I'm on my way. This is Givaldic. So he ran. Now it's interesting. The Malbim, of course, in his way, points out that here, what does the pasuk say? Leich haged lamelech. Leich haged. It doesn't say roots. It doesn't say run. It doesn't say besar lamelech. Inform him like besoros. It doesn't use that terminology. It says leich haged. Go tell him. Why? Because there was bad news. He needed to be told. David needed the information, but it was bad news. Leich haged. Now, also the Malbim points out that this Cushi, he witnessed this firsthand. He saw that Avshalom died. Okay, now we'll see in a minute that it's possible, according to some, that Achimatz did not. We don't know what Achimatz saw exactly. But he says, but it's clear in this pasuk, Leich haged lamelech asher ra'isa. Right? The Cushi saw exactly what happened. So he was going to give eyewitness testimony. And that's why it was fitting for him to tell David. Okay, pasuk chav beis. Vayosef od Achimatz. Now, Achimatz did not take no for an answer. All right, and remember, he was excited to tell David the good news. Vayosef od Achimatz ben Sadok vayomer el Yoav. He was persistent. And he turned again to Yoav and he said, Vihi ma arutza. Gam ani achare akushi. He says, please, let me run also after the Cushi. The Cushi left already. Please let me go after him. I want to be involved. I want to tell David the good news. By Yomer Yoav, and Yoav tells him, Lama ze'ata rotz b'ni. Why do you want to run? Why do you want to go? Ulecha ein besora motzeis. You don't have any good news to tell him. Right? Let this guy do his mission. Let him give the message. What do you need to be involved for? Says Rashi, there's no schar. You're not going to get anything out of this. But you're not going to get anything out of this. And even if David is going to reward the messenger, you're not even the guy. The Cushi went already. He's going to be the first one to get there. And whatever reward might be coming, David's going to give him. You're not going to get it. Right? So what are you so excited about? What are you so excited about? Now, the Malbim understands that Achimatz was saying, listen, there's two pieces of information here, right? There's the war is over. We defeated the enemy. And Avshalom died. So I understand that you don't want me to tell him that Avshalom died, because that's bad news. Okay, so you sent the Cushi to do that. But at least send me, at least let me tell him the good news. At least let me go and tell him that the battle was won. The Cushi will tell him the bad news, right? And he said, Yoav says no. He says the two pieces of news are intertwined. These are not two different things. The battle is over because Avshalom died. It's one and the same. So the Cushi is going to go. Let him tell the whole thing. It's not necessary for you to go at all. Okay, Achimatz doesn't give up. He says, so what if I don't get a reward? Who cares if I don't get a reward? Whatever it will be. I want to go. I want to run. So what happens, right? You know, imagine like your child. Your child wants something. Can I go somewhere? Can I go to the park now? And you say, no, I don't want you to go to the park now. Please, can I go to the park now? No, I don't want you to go to the park. Please. Okay, fine, go to the park, right? You know, you give in. So that's exactly what's happening here. This is the third time. Achimatz keeps coming to Yoav. Finally, Yoav, he's exasperated. He turns to him and says, fine. Hayomelo roots. Okay, go. Fine. You want to run? Go run. Go run and tell Dov. Vayorotz Achimaatz derech hakikar. Achimaatz runs through the kikar, through the plain. Now, why does it say this? Says the Masudas Davin, he took a shortcut, right? He's so excited to tell Davin the news, he took a shortcut to get ahead of the Kushi. Vayavor es hakushi. And he got in front of the Kushi. He got in front of him. He passed by him. Okay? Now, the Malbim says that this wasn't just that he was excited and he ran fast. That's not what's going on here. But he's making a cheshbon, Achimaatz. And he says, okay, I get it that I'm not going to tell David the bad news. I don't want to, I hear what Yoav's saying. I don't want to tell David the bad news. Let the Kushi tell him the bad news. But let me get there first and tell him the good news. And then the Kushi can come and tell him the bad news. I won't be able to answer all of his questions about Avshalom, and we'll see why in a couple minutes. The Kushi will tell him the bad news. Now, it's very interesting. This pasuk, although it seems like a pretty innocuous pasuk, is actually a famous pasuk in Gemara. Why is it a famous pasuk? Because there's a sugya, it comes up a few times in Shas and Sukkah and other places, of over lasiyasam. Over lasiyasam means that we have to make brachos, where specifically when it comes to a birchas hamitzvah, before we do the mitzvah. Right? Let's say we're lighting Hanukkah candles. We make the bracha lehadig ner shel Hanukkah, and we light the candles. Am tilas lulav. We make the bracha on the tilas lulav, and then we take the lulav, right? We flip the esrog and we take the lulav. We always make the bracha first. That's called over la'asiyasam. Over, before la'asiyasam, before you do the mitzvah. Asks the Gemara, how do you know that over means before? Where do you see that the word over means before? Over means to pass. Right? What do you see over means before? Says the Gemara, this pasuk. Vayavor es hakushi. Vayavor es hakushi means that he went ahead of the kushi. He went in front of the kushi. So says the Gemara, you see from here, over means in front of, means before. You prove it from this pasuk. So this pasuk comes up. Next time you learn the sugya of over lasiyasan, you'll recognize the pasuk from Nach. Okay. Now, pasuk chav dalet. V'David Yoshev Bein Shnei Hasha'arim. So David is sitting between the two gates. Now, what are these two gates? The Mefarshim say that there were two walls. It was a very fortified city. There was one wall, an inner wall, and then there was an outer wall. So there were two gates. Each wall had a gate. And David was sitting in between the two walls, in between the two gates. Vayelech Hatzofe El Gag Hashar. There was a watchman, right? He was looking out to see, make sure, no enemies were coming. So the watchman goes to the roof of the gate, El Hachoma, to the wall, Vayisa es Enof, and he's looking out, Vayar v'hinei Yishuvatz Levado, and he sees someone running, a single person, one person running. Okay? Now who was this person? Achimaatz, right? He was running in front. He got in front, he got ahead of the Kushi. Okay? Now the Malbim understands that, because he says, if you read the pasuk carefully, it says, that Sofa went El Gag Hashar and then El Hachoma. So what's El Hachoma? So he says that the gates were on one side. I don't know which side it was. He doesn't say. Let's just say for argument's sake it was on the east side. He was above the gates and then he didn't see anything. So he says, you know what? Let me go to the other side of the city and let me look over there. So he went to the other side, El Hachoma, to the wall, meaning the part of the wall without the gate. And then he looked that way and he sees Achimaatz running. And says the Malbim, why was Achimaatz approaching the city from that side, not from the gate side? Because he had taken the shortcut. He had run through the kikar. So since he ran through the kikar, he took this shortcut. He wasn't approaching the city in the normal way, the main road, which leads to the gate. He was approaching from the back way, leads up to the wall. Okay, but either way, the watchman sees this lone man running. It was Achimaatz. Vayikra Hatzofe. So the watchman calls out, Vayageid Lamelech, and he tells the king, Vayomer Amelech, and he says, there's a fellow running. Vayomer Amelech, im levado besora befif, vayelech haloch v'karev. So David says, one second, it's one person running, not a group. If it's a group of people running, maybe they're fleeing the battle scene, right? Maybe they were defeated in battle and they're retreating, they're running back. But if it's one person running, why does one person run back to the city? To give a message. Besora befif, he's got a message for me. Okay, Vayelech Haloch V'Karev, and he got closer. He got closer. Now here he tells the king directly, the watchman, right? Normally you think, the watchman, he's just a watchman. Why is he talking to the king? He should talk to the advisors. The advisors talk to the king. But here he knew the king would be excited. The king's waiting. David's anxiously awaiting between the two gates. He wants to hear the news. So quickly, the Tzofeh, the watchman, tells David directly. Now, Pasuk Chavav, Vayara Tzofeh, Ish Acher Ratz. Now, 1 second, the Tzofeh is looking, the watchman is looking, and he says, 1 second, is that someone else running? Right? And this was the Kushi. Because remember, Achimatz is running ahead, and the Kushi is running behind him. He says, what's going on? I see someone else running now behind him. Vayikra Tzofeh El Hashoer, says the Malbim. Here he doesn't talk to the king directly. Why? Because the king is already, he knows that someone is coming. Now this guy coming, it's not going to be as important. So let me tell the shower. The shower was the gatekeeper, right? Now the gatekeeper will deal with it. He'll tell the king. He'll figure it out. Vayomer hinei ish rotz levado, and he says another person is running by himself. Vayomer amelech gam ze mevaser. So David said this guy must also have some news, right? They're both running. They're both individuals. They must also have some news. Pasuk chaf tzayin. Vayomer atzofeh ani roeh es merutzas harishon. Now the watchman's looking, he has a trained eye. And he says, you know, I see the way he's running far away. He can't see his face. I see the way he's running. He looks like Achimatz ben Tzadok. Vayomer HaMelech, oh, ish tov zeh. Achimatz, oh, he's gevaldik. I love Achimatz. He's a great guy, right? Remember, Achimatz was very helpful to David throughout this entire process. Yel besora tov tova yavo. Oh, David says, such a good person, he's running, he must have good news. Now, think about it. This is exactly what Yoav knew. Yoav knew that Achimatz is a good person. Good people should bring good tidings. And that's exactly what David says. Oh, Achimatz, he's a great guy. He must have good news. He must have good news. Pasuk Chavches. Vayikra Achimatz vayomer el ha-melech. Shalom. Achimatz calls out. He gets close. He calls out to the king. Shalom aleichem. Vayishtachu lamelech la'apav arza. He bows down to the king out of respect. Vayomer baruch Hashem elokecha asher sigar es ha'anoshim asher nosu es yodam baduni hamelech. And he says, baruch Hashem, those who raised their hands against you, those who rebelled against you, Hashem closed them in. Hashem locked them up. Right? They've been defeated. They've been delivered into your hands. Unbelievable. Gevaldik, right? Gevaldik news. You won the war. Your enemies are done. Your enemies are done. Now says the Malbim, again, the Malbim, unbelievably sensitive to the words. The Malbim says, 1 second. This wasn't what Achimatz had planned to tell David. This is Pasuk Chav Ches. Look back for a minute at Pasuk Yud Tes. When he first comes to Yoav, what does he say? I'm going to tell David. Achimatz ben Tzadok Omar, Arutzana v'avasras ha-melech, Kishefato Hashem miyad oivav. Hashem judged you favorably against your enemies. That's what he wanted to tell David. That's not what he's saying here in Pasuk Chav Ches, right? What's Pasuk Chav Ches? What does he say? Baruch Hashem asher sigar as ha-anoshim, asher nasu es yadam adoni ha-melech. Why does he change his text? Why does he change the nusach of the message? Says the Malbim, because he realized, and this was Yoav's suggestion to him. He realized that had he used the words Kishefato Hashem Yad Oivav, Hashem judged. What would that mean? What would that imply? That would imply that the enemy has died. Hashem judged, right? Hashem judged and found Avshalom guilty, and that means Avshalom's dead. He didn't want to say that because he realized Yoav was right. I can't be the one to bring the bad news. So he didn't want to say that, and he didn't want to imply that Avshalom was dead. Therefore, he just wanted to state that David's army was victorious and the rebel army had been defeated, and praise Hashem, and that's what he did. Baruch Hashem Elokecha asher sigar es ha'anoshim asher nasu es yadam yad badom yam. Sigar, they were closed, right? They were finished, they're defeated, that's it. Nothing about show faith, nothing about Hashem's judgment, just praising Hashem, the enemy was defeated. Pasuk Chav Tes. Vayomer HaMelech Shalom Lanar. So David, he's a father. So okay, he's happy about the news. That's not his first reaction. What's his first reaction? How's my son? Is my son okay? Is Avshalom okay? I'm sorry, Shalom Lanar LeAvshalom. Vayomer Achimatz. What does Achimatz say? Right? What do you say to that? He knows the truth. He knows what happened. Vayomer Achimatz. Ra'isi HaHamon HaGodol. Lishloach es Eved Hamelech, Yoav v'es Avdecha, v'lo yadati ma. Achimad says, I saw a big commotion. I saw a big commotion, and they rushed to send out the Eved Hamelech. The Farshim say Eved Hamelech was the Kushi, right? Who was right behind him. And v'es Avdecha, and me, right? Yoav sent both of us. V'lo yadati ma. I don't know. I don't know the answer to your question. I don't know what happened to Avshalom. Okay, now this is, the tension is building here, right? Now on the one hand, how does he say this? He's lying. He knows Avshalom is dead. He knows exactly what happened, right? Why is he saying this? So the Metzudas David says, correct, he's lying. Why is he lying? Because he knows he can't be the one to tell David the bad news. Yoav made that clear. He should not be the one to tell him. So if he should not be the one to tell him, he can't tell him. So he's got to bend the truth here a little bit, right? We know sometimes there are heterim to bend the truth for shalom, right? In certain cases, when news would be very painful to someone, sometimes we have a heter. Sometimes we're allowed to bend the truth. He was bending the truth here. I saw a big commotion. Yoav sent me. He sent a kushi. I don't really know what happened, right? But to that stuff, it said he was really lying. But what is he going to do? He can't tell David the news. Now, the Malbim says it could be that he was not lying. It's possible that he was not lying. Why? Because we don't know that Avshalom saw, that Achimatz saw Avshalom dead. We know the Kushi did, because what was the nusach? What was the language that Yoav said to the Kushi? Go tell David Asher Ra'isa. Right? So we know the Kushi witnessed it, and the Kushi saw that Avshalom was dead. But Achimatz may not have seen it. He may not have seen it. Maybe he saw a big gathering, like he says, right? Ra'isi ha'amona gadol. I saw this big gathering of people, okay? And maybe at first, he didn't realize that Avshalom had died, had been killed, okay? And he did know later, right? That's clear. It's clear in the Pesukim later. You read the Pesukim earlier. It's clear Achimatz knew. I mean, Yoav says to him, I don't want you to go because the king's son is dead. It's going to be bad news. So he knew that he died, right? But in the very beginning, it's possible that he didn't see it. Maybe he didn't witness it. In the very beginning, he just saw a big commotion. He saw a big gathering. He didn't know what it was. And that's what he's telling him. So he's not lying, says the Malbim, but maybe he's just not telling him the whole story. He's telling him the beginning of the story. At the beginning of the story, he did not know that Avshalom was dead. So this is a machlokes, how to understand this. Is Achimatz lying, like the Metzudas David learns, and he's lying because I can't tell David the news? Or is he not lying? He's just not telling him the whole story. Now, either way, it's not 100%. But according to the Malbim, he's not lying. He's just telling him the beginning of the story. The beginning of the story, he didn't know. Right? He didn't know. Later, he found out. But right now, I'm telling him the beginning of the story. Okay. Now, it's interesting. Vayomer HaMelech, Shalom Lanar LeAvshalom. So says the Malbim, it's not really a question. Shalom Lanar. It almost sounds like a statement. Oh, so Avshalom's okay. The Malbim says that he thought, based on Achimatz's statement in the last pasuk, Baruch Hashem Elokecha Asher Sigar Es Hanoshim, he thought Avshalom was still alive. He thought maybe he had been captured. He thought he was still alive, and that's why he's saying Shalom Lanar LeAvshalom. Now, not true. Pasuk Lamed. Okay, so again, he asks Avshalom, or he tells Avshalom, Avshalom's okay. I'm sorry, Achimatz. I keep getting confused. He tells Achimatz, Avshalom's okay. Achimatz says, listen, I really don't know. I saw a big commotion. I was rushed out. I don't really know what happened. Pasuk Lamed. Vayomer HaMelech, Sov. He's Yatzev Ko. So he says, okay, turn around and wait here. Because he knows there's another messenger coming, right? The Kushi's right behind him. Vayisov Vayamod. So he turns around and he stands there. He knows what's going to happen here, right? Let's see what the Kushi is going to say. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. The Kushi now arrives. He comes. Vayomer HaKushi, and the Kushi says, Yisbaser Adoni HaMelech. Right? My master, the king, you should be informed. Kishefatcha Hashem Hayom Miyad Kol HaKomim Alecha. He uses the language that Achimatz wanted to use. Kishefatcha Hashem Hayom. Hashem judged you today favorably. Miyad Kol HaKomim Alecha. Against all of those who rose up against you. Now, what does that imply? That implies that Avshalom is dead. Shafatcha Hashem Ayom. That implies Avshalom is dead. Now, David hears that, and he says, one second, this sounds different. than what Achimatz just told me. I got to ask the question again. Vayomer HaMelech al HaKushi, HaShalom Lanar LeAvshalom. So he says, is Avshalom okay? Says the Malbim. He knew. As soon as the words came out of the Kushi's mouth, he knew Avshalom was not okay. And he's asking this question rhetorically. Avshalom is not okay? You know, he's asking like, is Avshalom okay? Like, he knows he's not okay. And what happens? Vayomer HaKushi, Yihiyu Chana'ar Oyvei David HaMelech. All of your enemies should end up like the Nar, like Avshalom. And he knows. So now it's ironclad, confirmed. The Kushi has just confirmed that Avshalom has been killed, and our Perek ends on a cliffhanger. We don't know how David reacts. Mirtz Hashem Perek Yites. I mean, we know David is not going to react well to this. He's going to be upset. He's happy that that the rebellion is over, of course, but he's going to be devastated that his son was killed. And remember, the whole time, we learned this. He didn't want his son to die. And we learned even Avshalom didn't want to kill David, right? They were still father and son, as much as they were at odds and as much as they were fighting each other. They were still father and son. They did not want the other to die. And David is going to be devastated by this news. And we're going to see what he does and how he reacts and how he mourns. Amir Tzashem and Perek Yutes. We'll stop here for tonight. Okay? And Amir Tzashem, looking forward to next week. The Ezra Hashem Yisbara.